the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. 20 minutes into hour three, coming to you live from Saratoga. Opening day, and there was a flurry of activity, and now it has died back down a little bit. The wind perked up, and I think we're going to be okay. I know that when I was driving in this morning, I said, gosh, I didn't expect that there was any rain risk here, but it said there was a percentage as high as 80%. I don't know. I think we're all right. It's just overcast and cool and windy. Tony Black is standing by. Appreciated Tony shifting from hour two into hour three. And Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I just walked out of Best Buy. My son needed to get a plug for his monitor. So I'm in the car. I hope you're hearing me good.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. You're fine. Absolutely.
Well, it's an interesting day, opening day at Saratoga. Boy, I hope it has a good opening day. And, you know, when I was listening to you about the jockeys and how they're either quarantined or coming back positive, there's a bunch of them, it almost makes me want to get my tack back out. There might be, one, for once in the history of racing, a shortage of jockeys.
It's, you know what? It's funny you say that because I did. It occurred to me that there might be some exercise riders kicking around, you know, that get the occasional afternoon mount. They're going to be called into service, I think, in spots. And then I thought about you and the opportunity to drop anchor again and take to a few sojourns around the oval.
Well, you know what? I went over to Parks Racetrack and Casino yesterday, and I didn't realize they have a new rule in place since I've been inactive as a rider, you know, and don't meet a criteria that they've set for this past year. They said they stopped me at the gate, and I couldn't get in, and I couldn't even get signed in because there was a stop on my license. I said, What do you mean there's a stop on my license? He says, well, there's a stop on your license because you're an inactive rider and we don't cover you in the morning, insurance-wise. You can ride in the afternoon, but you can't get on horses. I said, well, that's a new one on me. So in order to get on horses, I got to get an exercise boy's license. And I'm thinking, it's almost, you know, not... I guess it's almost demeaning because I've been there since the place opened, and I'm thinking some kind of rule that they're putting into place. And then you were talking about some of the things of the old timers that have been around the racetrack in New York and Monmouth, and people that have been around for years and years and years, and the respect that they're shown. And I'm saying, you know, that's important. You know, especially for some old guys. I know when I came around, there was guys in Jersey. They were like fixtures at the racetrack. Nobody even knew what their function was, but they were just there, and there was a tremendous amount of respect displayed by management and by the people that, you know, interacted with them on a daily basis, and they would be known as, hey, Dusty, what are you doing? Hey, this was different nicknames, and it was kind of neat. And I said, that exists every place except at Parks. It's a shame. It kind of was demeaning yesterday when I couldn't even get signed in. And they said, well, you got to get a stable employee's license. I said, I'll go get an exercise boy's license. And then if I want to ride, then I got to take out a jock's license after that. Then if I want to get on horses the next day, then I got to take out an exercise boy's license. Mm-hmm. I said, only at Parks does this exist.
No, there's, you know, I think we're going to get into that quite a bit here too, because you know, there's people that are going to want to attend, and there's real uncertainty about what license is going to get you in. And for instance, you know, there's a difference in New York. Every, you know, this is one of those frustrations that owners particularly have. There's a license there's a difference between being licensed by the state and getting a badge from the racetrack, let's say. And for instance, a spouse, a husband or a wife could get a spouse's badge, but that's not a license. That's strictly an ID to get you in the gate, as somebody that's an adjunct to what's going on. And that, that part of it is different from being a licensee, a license holder.
Right. Yeah, this was kind of blindsided. And what they had said, it was strictly for the insurance reasons. They don't want to cover someone as a jockey in the morning.
Right.
That's not active as a jockey in the afternoon. So you have to get on the badge list of a trainer. And the trainer will cover you in the morning. It's strictly that. It really had nothing to do with the COVID-19. It was just strictly insurance coverage. And I can understand it, when you are inactive, and you're not daily active as a rider, they don't want to cover you. So I go get an exercise boy's license next week. I told Richie Vega, because I wanted to start getting on horses in the morning, just 3 or 4, something to do, get out of the house. And he says, well, I'll put you on my badge list and you can get your exercise boy's license. I says, it's kind of demeaning, but that's the change in the way things are operating right now.
Well, and Tony, let's talk. I mean, in terms of conversation, perhaps that you're hearing this concept, and I wanted you to address it for people of basically being locked in to one facility, to one oval for a period of time. And of course, Laurel is locking riders in. We're doing it here. Indiana started it, and so forth. And it's obviously going to be, the policy, for the next little while. What's your thought about how a jock deals with this and about, picking the venue where you're going to have the most business? Or in some cases, I mean, some guys are riding. I mean, you think about a Trevor McCarthy, for instance. I mean, Trevor moves interchangeably, up and down the seaboard. We got Colonial opening. I got to get a hold of Jill Byrne and see what Colonial's going to do. There's some real issues here because a guy like Trevor riding at Delaware, he's riding Monmouth, Delaware, and Monmouth, Laurel, and Delaware.
Laurel and Delaware. Yeah, it's definitely going to put a damper on a jockey's business. And, you have to focus on the reason why it's being done is strictly, a health reason. But when it comes to parks, I think they're going to now stop where not let riders in, where I think at this point they still have let riders come in and out. But that's going to be stopping, I'm sure. I'm sure the jocks' rooms don't want people to come in and out, and I'm sure there are trainers that are stable there don't want jockeys coming in and out because you never know what they bring with them. The thing that's going to change also in some of these places is field size. So with field size being less, you need less riders to run the card. But you know what? There could be an absolute shortage in one place or another, like Colonial opening up. And the places that are year-round, like parks, probably will be less negatively affected because you do have a colony of riders that live in that area, they stay in that area, and sure, they don't want to. They won't be able to travel. And a lot of times, they don't want to travel anyway. But you'll be all right in that aspect of it. There are riders that are there. They're there on a steady basis. On top of that, the jockey colony, to some degree, at a place like Parks, could benefit because you're going to be living those jockeys at that racetrack. And, there are trainers that have horses there and maybe ship a rider in because he rode the horse in Merlin good. Well, he's not going to be able to come. Or he rode the horse someplace else good. He's going to have to pick a rider that's at that track. But the tracks that have meets that are just opening, that could really be, in short meets, it could really present a problem. Like I said, there's never been a real shortage of riders at any one racetrack, but because of this COVID-19, it could create an unusual situation and actually you know, in some venues there could be a shortage. Don't know. I guess we'll have to see how it works out.
You know, that whole thing, I think, has come probably. I did it with George Weaver on TV on Sunday with Seth. We brought up to people that probably aren't even aware that a lot of times, not even under this duress, but under you know, regular operating conditions, horsemen will send sometimes a rider and a groom with a horse and a trainer, you know, some local trainer friend at that venue will take the horse. If it's overnight, if it's sort of a complicated trip, sometimes it's overnight, or other times, like for instance, when New Yorkers ship down to Philly, I'll use Gary Siaka. Gary will send a horse down in the morning with the groom, but Mikey Farrow will saddle, and the horse will bed down in the morning or the night before at Mikey Farrow and Patty's barn, and then Mike saddles later in the day, and that's been going on forever.
And this is definitely going to throw a different light on, you know, how you ship, what horses ship, who they ship to. It's something we've never dealt with, and I'm sure we can adjust, you know, and still races will go on, jockeys will be on their back, and, you know, maybe there will be a scratch here or there because you don't have anybody in a big field. Maybe there won't be anybody to ride that horse. I kind of doubt it. There's always going to be somebody. But, you know, it is going to put a different light on the entire business from trainer's point of view, with groom shipping with horses, with riders. You know, it's something we're going to have to adjust to. And, you know, a lot of times you get negative feedback, which you can't do anything about this. This is a serious situation, this pandemic. But it just shows how people in general don't like change. You know, I see even when they first started riding, some of the jocks were complaining about the mask. I said, get used to it, believe me. If you have to pull it down a little bit on and your nose is sticking out, do it or whatever. You know, you'll learn to breathe with a mask. But that's a minor situation now compared to all the other differences that are going to be taking place in this business. It's a total adjustment. We might never be faced with this. Hopefully, we never get faced with something like this in our lifetime. But it's a total adjustment. And, you know, when you talk about it being over, you know, we're not talking about next week, next month, or the end of the year. I mean, they start throwing numbers and dates around. Well, we're talking about doing this into 2021. And who knows how far this thing's going to go. It's a terrible situation. And the only way that it can be handled is the way that is suggested by the medical experts and the things that you have to do to try to control this situation. There's nothing we can do about it. But like I said, I'm going to go get my exercise boys license. But if there's a shortage of jocks, I can go get a jock's license too. I can ride in the afternoon. I just can't ride in the morning with a jock's license at parks.
Too funny. Tony, you know, regarding the guys, and this spate of positives is not, you know, these are not the first. I mean, we had Javier right at the beginning of the whole thing. Javier Castellano got actually sick. I think there's actually some others. Word has come that there were some other guys that it wasn't publicized at the time, but apparently a few other jocks that immediately quarantined, and whether it was precautionary or whether they actually felt some symptoms. This situation and the way in which it spread so quickly in a couple of different rooms, and then now at Del Mar, where pretty much the whole room has been affected, kind of speaks to the close quarters that everybody operates in, and now trying to separate. As it is, most places had already gotten rid of but you couldn't use the steam box, and some of the gymnasium equipment and that kind of thing that the jocks usually deal with either in the mornings or between races. So it sort of tells you that, you know, you guys are in close quarters, probably a little too much and too long.
It's hard to social distance in a jock's room. Now, like at Parks, there is no steam box. You know, that's been closed. If you want to reduce, you better put a sweatsuit on to jog around the racetrack. That's the best I can tell you. I was talking to the clerk of scales. He says, you know what? He says, the guys are really doing good. You know, they're really handling it. And they can't use the box. They're sweating, but they're doing pretty good. The whole situation. Delmar, you know, I saw, what was there, like 15 riders came back positive. Then there's a friend of mine, and I don't want to mention his name because I don't want to let cat out of the bag that he's moving to California. A young rider, he's a good rider. He says, you know, I'm thinking about going to California. And he called me yesterday. He says, you know, when I go, I got to go in quarantine for 14 days
right
before I even ride. I says, I don't want to say his name because I don't want to let the cat out of the bag.
No, no.
And him say, oh, I'm not going to California now or whatever. But he's a young rider at Park, good rider. You know, and he got some offer to go out there. And he said, I got to go quarantine for 14 days. Then I can bring my family out here. He says, boy, he says, I never realized how difficult it is now to change with this added, you know, restrictions. I says, well, you got to make your mind up. You either go or you don't go. I said, oh, you can stay here and do whatever you're doing and just be satisfied with what you're doing here. He says, well, I really want to go. I says, well, this thing ain't going to change overnight. So, see what happens. But it really does put a, you know, with these jock rooms, it shows you you're in close quarters and it's hard to not be in close quarters. And the way this thing travels, you know, it's hard to be distancing yourself 6 feet apart and not interacting and standing away from the scale and getting on one at a time. It just doesn't work that way. It's hard to get disciplined like that. As much as you try, there's always going to be somebody that walks in between you. You know, that's just the nature of jocks rooms. It's a close quarter. And that's right. Why you're seeing so many of these jocks rooms and so many of these COVID positive tests coming back. And just part of the business right now. We've got to deal with it. We just got to try to be as safe as we can.
Well, and Tony, you know, one thing that I, in fact, Don Chatlos had a really good comment on Twitter, you know, where people were, you know, horrified by the restrictions, the lockdown concept. Mike Smith must feel great that so many people are worried about his livelihood. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Everybody was immediately like, oh, what's going to happen to Mike Smith? Well, don't worry about Mike Smith. He'll be fine. I thought Chatlos brought up a great point. He said, you know, instead of being worried about that, why don't you appreciate that there might be some riders who are going to get chances on some better horses and might get a chance in some barns where they get noticed. And this could turn into a real opportunity for some people that, you know, some riders that are kind of on the fringes right now.
Well, that's kind of like what I was saying. You know, you're going to have riders that are at that track that are going to have to be used and get some opportunities that they normally wouldn't get because a trainer, you know, is limited to how many riders he has to choose from. And it could be really, honestly, to some rider that's kind of been kept in the back shelf. An opportunity. It really could happen. It could awaken and give him a career that he never thought he had. And once he gets noticed, you know what? They'll say, man, this kid hasn't been riding a whole lot, but he's a good rider. Look what he did. It's not, you know, we're not going to put him back on the back burner anymore. We're going to use him. So it could be a benefit to a rider that's stabled at a jock's room, you know, that never would have gotten noticed.
Well, we'll be watching for that when the opportunity arises. You know, certainly, like right here for us, it just so happened, I mean, not that this was involved, we're going to get a chance to ride Tyler Gaffleone today.
Yeah, right.
I'm excited as can be to get him.
Well, see, if I had come up there today, I would have maybe got a chance to ride. I would have brought my tack. You could have put me on the horse. I'm still pretty fit, but couldn't get up there today. And I don't even know if they're still having anything at the Hall of Fame.
No, they're going to. No, it was postponed. I mean, you mean the photo thing? I don't know about it. I doubt it. I doubt the photo thing is being done.
That's what. I haven't gotten any word, but I knew last week after I talked to you, there's no way I can come up there. Number one, I can't get my little Maddie girl covered because the lady, the one aide, can't come to the house, doesn't want to come to the house, and the other aide's on vacation. So I wasn't going to get up there anyway. But just think if I got up there and you say, hey, Black, did you bring your tack? Oh, I'll find some tack. There's somebody up here that has to use it. I'd have been on your horse. We might have hit the winner's circle together.
That would have been fine. To go with our picture from Redboard King. That reminds me. Rich Eng is going to join us momentarily. It reminds me of a funny story. When I was broadcasting Colgate hockey, and I used to be the goaltender on our club team for the Decals, and you know, a lot of times you'll have your equipment, you know, in the trunk of the car, and we were in Elmira. We were at a tournament. Elmira College had a tournament. And I forget who else, what the other two teams were beside us and Elmira. And one of the guys called me and said, did you bring your equipment? And I said, no. Why? He said, well, he said, we got a problem. He said, The two A goalies were both hurt, and neither one could dress, so they were already dressing and starting the third string goaltender, but there was no backup goaltender to dress. And so they would have dressed me and sat me at the end of the bench, and I would have been scared, you know, I would have been completely mortified. But if I had had my equipment, I could, then who was going to broadcast? I think they were just actually looking for a set of equipment, because then what ended up happening was a defenseman, Bob LeBute. Bob ended up dressing as the backup goaltender for the night, just in case. You talk about bringing the tack, and that made me think of that.
I would have said to you, Steve, put me in, coach. I'm ready. I can play. Put me in, coach.
It's
amazing what we're all adjusting to, but we are adjusting, and hopefully everybody will get through this thing in the best order that they can.
Well, Tony, I appreciate it. We'll check in. We'll have the first week of Saratoga to talk about, and we got the Haskell action on Saturday as well at Monmouth, and we'll catch up with you next week. Stay safe.
Okay, and if you get a chance, if they put that photo in that exhibit, go look at it. It's me on a horse, and it's Jeffrey Doyle's photo, and he just happened to take a picture of me, and it's called Final Ride. I told him to put a question mark on the after the Final Ride.
Nope,
you take care, Steve. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Tony, thanks, buddy. Tony Black, everybody. And I forgot about that they were going to have that photo exhibit. They solicited photos, the museum. I'll check with Brian Bouye about that. Rich Eng is standing by. We got 15 minutes to close out opening day here at Saratoga. And Rich, of course, when he was working for NYRA, he had a handful of opening days at the spa. Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. You're right about that. I cut my teeth at the New York Racing Association, and, you know, I still marvel at the fact that they paid me to go to Saratoga. I mean, that was, you talk about enjoying life and being a young person and enjoying the hours after the races ended, but the races themselves were fantastic. Back then, Steve, it was a four-week meet, and it was 6 days a week, so, I mean, it was really compressed. And I remember that, you know, racing would end on Sunday night at Belmont Park. We'd have to pack. We'd have to set up on Monday to take the entries for Saratoga. And then Tuesday we started racing.
There was not a lot of room back then. And it was pretty remarkable. And, you know, when I was here for the, you know, doing the barbecue and setting up, and the you know, the big tractor trailers would roll in and stuff starts getting unpacked, and you know, they would bring, at that time, they were, you know, they would also bring in you know, all the audio visual equipment and the broadcasting stuff, and the way it would quickly set up. I mean, now they've got quite a bit that stays here year round, but it is amazing. And the racing office, you know, would instantly, you know, reappear, and when you think about it, Rich, 4 weeks is really nothing. I mean, it goes by in a blink of an eye, to unpack like that. And then they started to make a little bit more time in between, made it a little bit more comfortable for everybody to set up.
Yeah, I would have liked to seen the schedule where you only run 5 days a week, and you get an extra fifth week, and I guess they're out to 6 weeks, and, you know, to be able to relax a little bit on Monday and Tuesday. And, you know, sometimes on the off day, Steve, me and a few of my compatriots, we would take the throwaway up to Montreal and spend the dark day in Montreal on Monday.
Good job!
So we were really burning the candle at both ends during that that 4 week meet.
I love it. Good work to get up to Montreal, and you know, a lot of people would go up and watch go for baseball. They'd go see the Expos, and I know a lot of horse people, you know, they miss that. I miss it. As somebody that was an Expo season ticket holder during my time in Montreal. Well, Rich, the racing is going to have to, you know, make up for any of the attendance shortfall and you know, what is going to be absent other than owners. I mean, with owners, you know, the word coming yesterday that, you know, owners and some guests can attend, but for everybody else that is going to miss a summer weekend or a week or even the whole meet, being here, we feel terrible, but we'll try to keep them involved in the action and help them cash some tickets too.
Yeah, you know, I'm really happy to hear that the owners will have a chance to actually see their horses run, because, I mean, they are the foundation of the sport. They pay all the bills and own all the horses, and without them, there'd be, no animals running around and turning left all the time. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, there are safety and health protocols that can be practiced, and including wearing the mask and social distancing and washing your hands and stuff like that. So we know it can be done safely, so I'm hopefully everything works out for the owners and they get a chance to enjoy it.
Well, and of course, Rich, you had the whole Del Mar weekend yanked out from under you yesterday. Particularly for everybody that was looking forward to the San Diego and the return to maximum security. How did you fare last week, first few days of Del Mar?
I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed the racing, and it seemed to be helpful if you had some speed, not necessarily a wire-to-wire speed, but if you could sit close, it was kind of difficult to come from way back. And we saw some phenomenal rides by Umberto Rispoli. I tell you, he's an absolute budding superstar, Steve. And knock on wood, if he keeps progressing, and he's just got his career start in the U.S., he's going to be one of the top names for many years to come. But it was very enjoyable. Really disappointed that there's no racing this week, but certainly understand what happened at Del Mar. And just to let my subscribers know and your listeners know that I will be handicapping Saratoga instead on Saturday and Sunday, so I will have a sheet ready for anybody who goes to the website at racedaylasvegas.com. I'll have Saratoga those 3 days.
Outstanding. The problem's going to be that you're going to do great, and everybody's going to want you to keep handicapping.
I certainly hope so. And by the way, let me take just 1 minute to congratulate you on winning the Bill Handelman Award. I'm so proud of you, and really a congratulatory. And I knew Bill very well because before I came out here to Las Vegas for the Las Vegas Review Journal writer and handicapper job, I worked at Monmouth Park in the Meadowlands for 4 seasons, and got to know Bill very, very well. And he was one of a kind. He was truly a tremendous journalist, a tremendous person. And for you to win that honor is, you should be honored too, because of what a great person Bill was.
Well, I really appreciate it, Rich, and everybody that that knew him at all, you know, appreciated how much he loved the game. And if you know, if my passion for racing can you know, border on Bill's, that would you know, be awfully nice, because everybody that I knew, you know, and I remember when he passed. I mean, people were, you know, really saddened, and you know, somebody that, as Dave Greinke said, you know, was fun to be around and fun to be at the racetrack with, and somebody that wasn't afraid to send it in too through the windows.
I could tell your listeners this. I don't know if there have been other Bill Handelman stories today or because of you winning the award, but Bill did not take losing at the races very kindly. So sometimes in the press box, you would hear an eruption if he lost a tough one sometimes.
I love it. Well, for the opening day, some thoughts, Rich? I mean, looking much at today's action?
I did take a look at it, and if you'd like, I have a couple of plays that I'd be willing to offer.
You bet.
See if we can. I know last week I got one of them home, the first one home.
That was great. So, $13.
Yeah, that was so. Let's see if we can get the start again. I tell you what, let me get these picks in, because people want to know my horse thoughts. Let's go to the fourth race first. And the fourth race is six furlongs, maiden special weights. Love the purse, $72,000. Not too shabby, Steve. We're going to go with one of my favorite trainers to bet on is George Weaver. And he's having a great year with Tacoma and Point of Honor and some others. But he's got a horse here, the number six Thrill, that debuted in a turf sprint. And quite frankly, I kind of thought the horse might have been mismatched as far as sprinting and on the grass. This horse has a really strong dirt pedigree, and I think this horse could wake up at the 7-2 odds. It's square priced, but I think this horse is more meant for the main track. So let's go race four, number six, Thrill. And then in the Peter Pan, I'm going to take a shot at a horse that actually I own a couple of tickets in the Kentucky Derby future book on at huge prices, but it's the number two, Country Grammar. Mm-hmm. I bought this horse a long time ago. Quite frankly, the ticket hasn't looked very promising for a while, but this is the last chance, basically, for Chad Brown to get this horse on the road, so to speak, to the Kentucky Derby. This horse needs to wake up today. And this is the prep for the Travers. So one step at a time, if he can run a big race here, he probably will be Travers bound. And I at least want to get this horse to the starting gate at Churchill Downs so I have something to root for with my ticket. But the two, Country Grammar at 7-2, this is do or die time for this Chad Brown colt.
Well, I would love to see, for Paul Pompa, I would love to see Paul. And of course, Paul bred that Cafe Pharaoh, who actually had, seemed like was ticketed for Derby and then had a little bit of a setback in the most recent starts. I don't know where he stands, but Paul, in this regard, with Country Grammar, a chance to take one that, this one he did not bred. In fact, this was bred by friends of ours, the Pierces. But a chance to take this, take another horse to the Derby, if that all could happen. But first things first, and the Peter Pan, 5:46 today, and it's a pretty interesting group, a fun group, no doubt. Well, Rich, I appreciate it, and we'll remind everybody that you can. You'll be doing Saratoga all weekend, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday for Rich's subscribers at racedaylasvegas.com. You should be following Rich, of course, on Twitter as well. Rich Eng, the number four pro pick. And Rich, we'll talk next week. Hopefully they reboot some of the best racing from this weekend at Del Mar that was canceled. They pack it into next week, including that San Diego, where there was real interest and excitement about getting maximum security back started.
Yeah, we'll follow the news very closely this week, and hopefully Del Mar will be allowed to reopen again next Friday.
Rich Eng, everybody. And Rich shifting tack very, very adroitly from the Del Mar weekend to Saratoga. So, and Rich's opinion just as good here as it is out there. Takes us to about now about a minute or change to close out the morning here from Saratoga. And we'll thank Rich and Steve Haskin, of course. And we had Dave with us, and Tony, Dave Grenig and Tony Black. And we started the morning also off with... Well, actually, we have to switch, but Pat McKenna, again, with added information about the owners, and I'll give you that, you know what, let me give you that one more time so that you know, for those of you that are going to have questions, and actually Tina sent me a text and said she got some questions from friends and other horse people, and... regarding your spouse badge is strictly a NYRA admissions piece. It is not a license. You've got to have the green New York Gaming Commission license as the first step toward admission here. And so, you know, for those of you that strictly have a spouse badge, that's not going to be enough. And as Pat laid out, Horsemen's Relations, Horseman with an E, Horsemen's Relations at NYRA Inc., NYRAINC.com. And if you want to call and make the reservations and so forth, 516-488-6008. All right? Nick Tamaro's analysis is up. I was going to try to get the pick five down. And I still will try to get it posted. I guess we got some time, right? What time does pick five starts at 4? Yeah, I got time. So I'll get my thoughts in as well on the second half of the card. But Nick's stuff is up to get you going right from the first race of the meet. Want to wish everybody the best of luck, owners and jocks and trainers and all the outfits and everybody here at the New York Racing Association. We'll do as many shows from here as we can. Good luck today, everybody. We'll talk to you in the morning from Monmouth Park.
The Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at HorseBills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.